right. I think he's already regretting coming in here. Ty Richardson, ESPN, Arkansas. What's up, buddy?
Boys, it's good to have not just one, but both of you guys sitting here. What's going on?
The room got a little warmer, didn't it?
It's all the body heat. It's that our body's about to take in the hot chicken. It's getting ready for the hot chicken we're about to consume
in a little bit. So we're excited about that, but we were excited about Arkansas basketball. Another early exit. They certainly seem tournament bound, though, right?
Yeah, they're going to the NCAA tournament. Just a matter if they don't go to Lexington, where's the next spot? Because I think that's where I think they're going to go. Now, I know, like, based on seedings, and you put teams in certain brackets based on where they've earned, like, one seeds, two seeds. But
right.
From a television standpoint, Lexington, Kentucky is where you put them if you're the selection committee.
Cal doesn't much care for SEC tournament anyway.
Here's where I come from on that. I talked about it this week on our show. Is like, if you're a Kentucky fan and you hear that, I understand why you're angry, because there's a lot of Kentucky fans that pay good money to come to Nashville to watch their team play.
They take over.
And yeah, it's Big Blue Nation. Arkansas fans, I mean, they had a good crowd today, and on Wednesday as well. But the goal is not that. I mean, the goal is the real tournament, which begins next Thursday. I mean, if you want to count Tuesday and Wednesday, you can, but I mean, it really begins on Thursday.
Is Arkansas the second best basketball fan base in the SEC? Because I've seen about six different schools, they claim that.
Yeah, they are. I mean, you think of it, to put in this perspective, I know Florida's got the two national championships under Billy Donovan, 2006, 2007. They've got a really good baseball program as well. I would honestly stack up Tennessee as the second best football, basketball, baseball school in the city. And I say second best, like on equal footing as Arkansas, because like Tennessee fans care about all three. Now, they didn't give a crap about baseball until Vitello got there. And now he's done a phenomenal job, national championship.
I didn't know they had a team.
Yeah.
I was up there 4 years.
but I think this fan base, you're always going to be a football state in the Southeastern Conference, but basketball wise, whether it's Coach Richardson, Coach Sutton, now Coach Cal, Coach Muss, I mean, this state has always cared about basketball. There's great high school basketball in the state. Can't say the same about football all the time, but there is great high school basketball.
Do you think the way it's structured for, let's keep it specifically for Arkansas, do you think you can be really good? And when I say good, like championship contender in all the sports? Or do you really have to go in on
Tennessee?
One or two?
Tennessee is Elite Eight.
Well, that's Tennessee.
National championship. Oh, here we go. I knew this guy.
There's tears in this college thing, football, you know?
college football playoff. I mean,
I think that's a legitimate question, though, in the NIL, you know, when you're paying for players.
I think we have to see what happens after this 21-5 plus another 3.5 gets 4.5, whatever it is, gets passion for the scholarships.
Right.
And
the revenue
the
sharing.
Revenue and everything else. I think because what we've had since July 1st, I think 2021, is going to look different than what it's going to look like post this July, whenever it comes down, whenever this officially like gets done, we're going to have a new landscape of college sports. And it's like you said, it's a matter of, hey, well, what can you balance? Like Arkansas, for example, reportedly has hired a GM from the Boston Celtics, not just for the basketball team, but for the entire athletics department. And so he's got to balance not only the highest producer of revenue, which is the football team, but all the other sports on campus, which some are deemed ancillary just because they don't make as much money, you know?
Mm-hmm. Do you ever see just a buy-in? You know, again, I love your quarterback. I think he's fantastic. I think he's a real game changer. But, you know, you look at teams like Mizzou, Ole Miss, some of these programs that – kind of just pushed all their chips to the middle of the table. Do you see Arkansas ever doing that, saying, hey, we got something special here. This is the year that we're going to invest more into our players?
They did in basketball. Apparently the highest paid. But here's my thing. I don't think the fan base is fully on board with Sam Pittman. They love him as a person. They like how he's a representative of the University of Arkansas. He wants to be the head coach. No one disagrees with that. But to say that Arkansas is fully on board with Coach Pittman is not true. It's just not. And I want him to succeed. I want them to win 8 or 9 games this year. Is that going to happen? Probably not. I think if Shannon, it's a good question. I think they would have to get a guy that you are fully on board. Like, Cal comes in and fan base is like, there's still some, like, doubters and stuff. Like, I still have questions, and they're fair, and I think they're warranted. But fan base was like, holy cow, we got a Hall of Famer. It would have to be someone of that equivalent to fully push all the chips in on football.
Yeah. Is there a short list? Like, if not, I'm just curious. Like,
he's calling for Sam's head right now.
No. I mean,
in Marsh.
Let's just say Sam says, "Hey, this is the last year. I got a good hip. I want to go do other things." And you know, he says, "I'm done with college football." Is there like a wish list of somebody you wish you could have? And is there somebody maybe
he's
more
on College Game Day right now? I mean, some people, I know people have tossed out a variety of names. Rhett Lashley has the connect. Like, if I just said, Ty toss us some names. So you got Rhett Lashley, who's the connection right now at Arkansas, being that he's an Arkansas kid. That's the one where I think a lot of people's mind goes. Eli Drinkwitz, the connection to Arkansas. I just don't know, like, so I kind of joked about it earlier. Arkansas doesn't have high school football talent relative to other SEC schools. It's not close. Like, Nashville has Memphis, Nashville, or I say Nashville. Tennessee has Memphis, Nashville, Knoxville. There's tons of good football talent. It's grown exponentially, especially in central Tennessee, where we are right now. Arkansas doesn't have that. Little Rock doesn't produce. The highest metropolitan area in your state does not produce football talent year in, year out. That's a problem. So if you're a head coach and you're thinking, all right, how do I set myself up for success in future years? How do I guarantee my family is not just set up for life, but my grandkids and stuff? You're not going to Arkansas because the SEC terrain is already difficult, and there's not just like a locked-in recruit, a fertile recruiting base there. So that's a difficulty that not a lot of other coaches in the SEC have to. They have obstacles like everyone else does, but that just home base. I know you're 4.5 from Dallas, and you're 5.5 from St. Louis, and you're 3.5 from KC. But you don't have in your own backyard. That's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, I was gonna say they gotta start mine in Texas. And so we play Texas, we play A&M, we play Oklahoma, and they'll play some combination of that annually. I think that would be their best strategy.
And they've done that. I mean, they've recruited East Texas over the years, and you look at some of Arkansas's best team. I mean, it's filled with Texas kids. And you got to be able to do that. And, I mean, think about Tennessee. Tennessee goes outside of Tennessee. When they've had their best teams, they get into Kentucky. They'll go into Georgia, of course. They'll go to Alabama. I mean, you can't just be locked in your home state. But it is a disadvantage that legitimately no other SEC team, like even Kentucky, who you think is like a basketball state, has more blue chip talent in football year in, year out than Arkansas does, which is a problem.
Who is your biggest rival right now in the SEC? Because I feel like Arkansas doesn't have that true rival.
Still football?
Yeah.
I mean, most fans will say Texas. I mean, Ole Miss is always up there, LSU. But, I mean,
Missouri didn't even make the top three. Did you hear that?
Recency. Because they keep kicking Arkansas's ass.
But I get back in the day, but I'm 42 years old and I've never watched a Texas, like a true old school Texas Arkansas matchup. Is this just something that we're saying that because our papaws did it? Or is this something that you truly feel over there in Arkansas, so that Texas is a rival?
The dynamic in Fayetteville, like the college itself, you've got obviously a good chunk of the state that elects, you know, I'm going to send my kid here, and they come here, and like, I, Little Rock kid, love, like, didn't apply anywhere else. I was going to Fayetteville, and I'm glad I did. A lot of my friends are Dallas and Texas kids because they didn't get into Austin or they wanted something different. They were tired of living in Texas. And Fayetteville's like, people think you're walking in and it's just like hick town, no electricity, they don't wear shoes, whatever. And then you get to Fayetteville and you're like, this is kind of dope. Like, this is cool. So you've got these Texas kids that already hate Texas because they feel like shunned by the university. And so they buy into that culture at 18 years old. And you combine that with their ancestors or their friends, family, whatever, like you're talking about, that have hated Texas their entire lives because Arkansas was the little brother. Now, if you visit Northwest Arkansas, you realize it's not really a little. I mean, Austin's still Austin. I'm not saying that. But it's Northwest Arkansas has grown an insane amount in the last even 10 years. So
isn't it annually on those lists? So like best places in America.
Yeah, US News listed, and we're in Nashville, Tennessee, which I would put up against a lot of other towns across the country. And US News lists Fayetteville as the best SEC city to live in, like 3 years running, something like that. So to your question, it's like the combination of the old heads and the young bucks that like the hate festers, and then now you get to play these guys every year. So it's a big deal. Even though there was a from what 92 to I guess they played some in between, but 92 to 2024, you didn't have that every year. And it's not an every year, it'll be 2 years on, 2 years off, 2 years off, but it's still that aspect, and at least in football.
If the SEC goes to 9 games, which it looks like they probably will, you're already shaking your head.
That's not good for Arkansas.
One more SEC game for you, but if they do and they have three permanent rivals for each team, who does Ty want for three permanent rivals for Arkansas?
I think just if we're going off proximity, Norman's 2.5 hours away. Austin, I mean, you just want to play Texas. Like, I'd get a rip hour for Arkansas fans if you didn't say Texas. For me, it's A&M, but I would probably have to put LSU in that list. Again, proximity with Oklahoma, old town rivalry with Texas, and then the last one, LSU.
You're going to miss Jerry's World?
Dude, there's been so many. Think about this. Shane, imagine going to a game pretty much every single year and knowing you're going to lose. That was since I was a sophomore in college. So freshman year, Johnny Manziel came to town. They lost by 12. It was a good game. Texas A&M was just more athletic, just better. In 2014, A&M's like 6th in the country. We blow that 14-point lead in the fourth quarter. From 2014 to this past season, with the exception of 2021, A&M has won every single game. And Arkansas still leads the series, but people ask me all the time, it's like, why do you hate Texas A&M? And they have their weird rituals and cultish-like things, but it's because of...
You weren't a cheerleader?
No.
What's your favorite dance?
But they have just the audacity to beat Arkansas in the most painful way every single year. It drives me insane. And I mean, I'll have A&M fans that say just worthy things in my group or my messages or whatever. And that's deserved because the Arkansas keeps losing and I can't really say anything until they actually win a freaking game, which they haven't since Treylon Burks. So I'm just going to, now there it's back in Fayetteville this year. So maybe the tide changes, but no one in Arkansas.
Just can you explain to the fans? Cause if they just stumbled across this podcast, explain the Little Rock situation for just the common fan.
So for like, if you're an SEC fan, I guess Ole Miss, was it Memphis and Jackson? I think they would occasionally play for Alabama and Auburn. It was Birmingham. I don't know.
Georgia, Jacksonville.
Yeah, Jacksonville. So, and that's still ongoing, and Kirby wants it done. But Arkansas, like Fayetteville used to not have lights. Donald W. Reynolds Razorback Stadium didn't. War Memorial did. Since Northwest Arkansas has grown, football team, college, everything else, they can afford lights, amongst other things. And they slowly started trickling games out of Little Rock, which the college institution is in Fayetteville, so the games need to be there. And this is coming from a Little Rock guy. Like, if there's anyone that grew up in Little Rock, watch Matt Jones throw it to DeCorey Birmingham for Miracle on Markham back in 2002. I was in that section where Matt threw it to him. So if anyone that like should defend Little Rock, it's me. But I want the team to win. And so you've got like Central Arkansas money that wants to keep at least a game there in Little Rock or something. And the rest of the state, and I say Central Arkansas, it's Eastern Arkansas, maybe a little Southern, who can't get up to Fayetteville for every game or even a game because it's cheaper in Little Rock than it would be Fayetteville. And so you've had this way for so long, it's so hard for people to let it go. They're playing Arkansas State there this year, and it's supposedly going to be the last game unless it gets political, which very could. I mean, Arkansas very much could turn this into a political thing, and it would be bad for the football program. Sam Pittman and others have had to balance what they say because they don't want to lose donors from Little Rock and Eastern Arkansas and oil money down south. Like, there's so much like politicking back and forth. Don't step on people's toes. But it's, if you care about Arkansas football having the most success, then give them a chance to play in their home stadium as much as possible, especially with the 9-game you alluded to. In the Little Rock stuff, A&M stuff's already ended. Hopefully that happens starting in 2026.
Now, you can't have recruits in Little Rock, right?
No.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
I know there was some negatives just besides the fan bases having the games down.
And, like, the team has enough negatives. Like, I talked about first off, they've gone 6-6, 4-8, 6-6 the last 3 years. So if a kid's deciding between Arkansas or, like, Auburn, Alabama, Tennessee, or wherever else, do you think Arkansas is going to win that battle most of the time? Probably not. And then you're making it a bigger disadvantage for a kid to have less opportunities to visit your school. It's like, hey, let's shoot ourselves in the foot. Let's just pull the trigger on our own feet. Drives me insane.
This has been a Debbie Downer podcast. What are you most excited about this football season coming up?
Football wise, I don't want to see what jump Taylen Green can take. I mean, if you go back, the best game he had in SEC was against Tennessee before you guys, cheap shotted him. That was, dude, you talk about, I'm in the Tennessee section for that game, and I wanted you guys to come. But I sat with Tennessee fans and my Arkansas buddies that game. So the dynamic was one of my best friends, he's dating and is now engaged to a Tennessee volunteer. And so we are all, it's three Arkansas guys, or four, and in the entire Tennessee section up, cocked. So we're kind of getting cussed out a little bit, which is kind of, it's in our own stadium, which is kind of funny. But yeah, I think Taylen, just to get better, but like, my thing is, like, he lost Andrew Armstrong. He lost Isaac Tesla. He lost his best pass catching targets. I mean, Andrew was a dog. He was second or third best wide receiver in the SEC with Williams, Trey Harris, and him. I mean, he had a lot of SEC categories that he was in the lead of. So I just don't know who he's going to throw the ball to. Taylen might be better. But if you don't have guys on the outside that can make plays, it's not going to matter. So positives, I guess, is just Taylen being better. Zaven Sorey's back. He's going to be an all-SEC guy. Cam Ball's back, all-SEC guy. I'll tell you this. You want a hot take? Texas fans are going to hate. They're going to win in Austin in November. And it's not because Arkansas is a great team. It's not because Arch Manning's going to choke against the Razorbacks. It's because that game is sandwiched between Georgia and Texas A&M. You think Texas is going to give a flying you-know-what about Arkansas that week? Hell no. Arkansas will go into Austin and win that game. It'll be close, but they will, just like it was this year in Fayetteville, they'll win that game.
And that'll be just enough to save Pivot's job, just like the Tennessee game. You know what?
Dude, I think of Arkansas sports, and I think of lisinopril, my blood cholesterol or blood pressure medicine. And it's like the roller coaster that your sports go through, gosh. All sports, it's like extreme highs, extreme lows.
Yeah.
And I feel like we were just talking about it yesterday. The game we like is the Ole Miss game because of the lack of returning production that's coming back to Lane Kiffin's team, the fact you're getting them, what, week three? I think having a guy like Taylen Green, second year in that system, that's the one I've got circled as the trap game. And you want to talk about a high of high, that's the Arkansas way, man. It's just knocking off an Ole Miss team early in the season.
We used to love doing that. I'll tell you this. So we're in Oxford 2 years ago, and KJ throws that second pick. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, I'm just saying the worst words a human can say on the, not towards KJ, but just like to myself, like, I can't believe I did this, blah, blah, blah. And so, do the post game in the Grove. I'm popping beers. I'm just like, I don't want to do this sober. Like, I need to have a little buzz to put me through this post game. So we get done and we go to the Chicken on the Stick, the gas station spot. And I've got the Arkansas plates, I've got the Arkansas polo, I think I'm wearing. So I had not, with the exception of the two or three beers I drank during the post game, which was more of a gag than anything. Like, I was not going to get drunk and lose my job, but it was more like, of, hey, let's just have some fun. Like you guys just did when popping it open. So I walk and immediately just get one of the Ole Miss frat kids just cusses at me. I'm just like, okay, this is going to be ongoing. And so we walk in and it's me, my brother, who's a diehard, and our buddy Reed, who's also a diehard. And I'm like, okay, one of them is going to pop off. I've got to be careful because I know they're going to get called some slurs and all this stuff. And, like, I'm good. Like, if someone calls me something, I'm more thinking it's a joke or laughing. Like, I'm not going to – the kid's 8 years younger than me. Like, what am I going to do? And so It happens, and I'm thinking, okay, it's about to be 3-on-50 in here, and we're going to get our teeth kicked in. Luckily, it didn't escalate or anything, but to your point about Ole Miss, I hope that happens so I can we can walk in with our heads held high into the chicken on the stick gas station and give them a bleep all of y'all. Screw Ole Miss.
Well, and we could cut this out, but I do got to ask about shirtless video that was floating around online. What were the conversations like when you got back to the office on that one?
Well, so... My boss is actually my co-host too, so it's a very interesting dynamic. And I think I was gone the next week or the next weekend. I can't remember what. Yeah, because we went to Phoenix that next weekend for the waste management. We were talking some golf earlier, and he got sent the video by one of my buddies, and he joked and was like, "Our owner saw this or whatever," and I knew he was like kidding or whatever, but. My thing was, I was so mad at that instance because I had a trip to Lexington figured out. We were going to do it. And then they started losing. And my buddies were like, nah, it's not worth the trip. And so they win the game. Not only win the game, they dominated that game. The shot just, they couldn't miss. And so I'm around my friends at our favorite place, Shameless Pug, Papa's Pub and Pizzeria. And I'm thinking to myself, like, why is no one reacting like we didn't just win a big freaking game. So I told him, I was like, if we win, I'm taking my shirt off and spinning around like a top. And they're like, you won't. You know, the classic, you won't. And I did. And it was great. So that moment.
I loved it, man. I mean, that's what sports is about.
You text me. You guys both text
me.
I
absolutely loved it. And that's why we love this sport, you know, because of – we talked about lows to start the show, but it's the highs that we talked about.
Basketball got me up. Football brought me down. Basketball got me up. Oh, man. Listen, you guys are so lucky, and I've said this, and there's been pushback. I mean, Danny White's the best AD in the SEC. That's why he's getting paid the $2 million or whatever he was. You think about the football team just went to the college football playoff. Now, I know fans were ticked about what happened in Columbus, but we saw that team was the best team in the country. Your basketball team went to the Elite Eight for – second or third time, maybe it's been more than that, program history, could have gone to a Final Four. And then your baseball team just won a national championship, which no one gave a rat. Like you said, no one knew y'all had a baseball team. And now people pack out Lindsey Nelson on weekends. That game in Fayetteville at the end of the year, y'all might want to make that trip. That game is going to be fun because Arkansas fans freaking hate Tony Vitello. I mean, it is something that I hope Dave and him get into a little. It's not going to happen. I hope they get into a scuffle though. Again, that'd be great. But yeah, as an Arkansas fan, so football starts to disappoint. You're like, all right, basketball season, let's go. When the basketball team loses, all right, baseball season, this is our savior. And unfortunately, the last 2 years they've gotten bounced in their own regional. So it can be very depressing as a Hog fan, and you don't always have a medicine that can be prescribed for that, Shane. Unfortunately.
is there any you're looking at the schedule next year and it's not easy. I mean, there's some easy schedules, and I use that. We did the top, what was it? The top 20, I think we had 42. How was it set up? The top.
You talking schedules. About the toughest schedules?
Yeah. The toughest schedules.
Yeah. Arkansas every SEC, every team is top 25.
Bill Connelly ranked it. Yeah.
And then he had 12 of the top 13 are in the SEC, which includes Arkansas, who plays Notre Dame, and for some reason at Memphis this year. And even, I mean, it's full of landmines because even Arkansas State, like, should beat the hell out of them, but, like, that's like a fireable offense if you lose to. But let me ask you about that. For years and years, they wouldn't play that game. Now they would. And I always hate that. I always hate the lame excuses like, well, Arkansas's got nothing to win playing this game. But, I mean, first of all, it's a game, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, if you're not an Arkansas fan in that state, you're probably an Arkansas State fan. And I realize there's probably very, very few Arkansas State compared to Arkansas. But that's why you're playing the game. You're playing it for the state so you can have bragging rights over your coworkers and your relatives. And I mean, it's just a damn game. Go out and beat the hell out of them.
Broyles, Frank Broyles, longtime athletics director at the University of Arkansas, his thought was he didn't want to divide the state and have people cheering against the Razorbacks. And I'm paraphrasing what he probably actually said, but that's changed. They played in-state schools in baseball and basketball, and And now football, Arkansas State will be playing the hardest they've ever played a football game in their entire life. And while the talent disparity is quite big, I tend to think that that's going to be. And so you're putting Pittman in this like situation where, like, hey, let's go to Memphis and play one of the best group of five teams in the last decade. I mean, Silverfield will have himself a squad. They'll probably win double-digit games. I think they did it last year again. And one of those could be Arkansas. And then I'm forgetting, I can't remember the Memphis game. I think the Memphis game like is right before.
It is,
Ole Miss,
yeah.
It's right. Yeah, so you got to do that and go to Little Rock. It was just the schedule is a fire-me schedule. Oh, and by the way, like you said, defending national champ or defending
runner-up.
They're coming to your stadium. Now, that's awesome. Like, Catholics, I don't know. It's Catholics versus convicts, Miami versus Notre Dame. I don't know if it's going to be Catholics versus rednecks. Like, I don't know what they're going to do for Arkansas, Notre Dame, but they got to find some hashtag or something. Arkansas fans, honestly, kind of would probably like to be called rednecks. I think it'd be funny, but...
Has Notre Dame ever been to Fayetteville, to your knowledge?
First time. Yeah. And Arkansas will get the return trip to South Bend in 2028. And, I mean, you got Notre Dame fans. Like, I've had two of them that have asked me for tickets. I'm like, you better get those now because they are going to be pricey.
What a big game that would be, you know. I think starting the season, you know, I look at those like moments. Those are opportunities.
Moments in time.
Yeah, I think Sam Pittman's looking at that like, hey, you want to put the naysayers away early in the season, beat Notre Dame, you know. And it could happen. I really think it could happen.
I think most years for a Notre Dame, it's like playing an SEC.
Yeah.
I think Notre Dame would be more like, we got to prove the doubters wrong, beat the SEC. I think it's flipped.
It has flipped.
I think it's Arkansas, like, let's beat the shit out of this independent, made it all the way to get the hell out of here, you know?
All Vol fans are supporting the Arkansas State ass beating, you know? Lyle Jones over there.
Yeah, what he was saying, they're going to be playing their hearts out. I was know who the coach is, right? Yeah. Right. Who cares, you know?
I was going to say, I forgot.
They'll be 1% better, I'll tell you that.
8-7. Oh, wait, was it 8-4 like every year under Butch Jones?
Yeah. Is that,
I think he won 9 one year.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. But then he had a couple good seasons.
But following 9 wins, he went 0-8 for the first time in SEC. Tennessee had never gone 0-8 in SEC.
He followed up a 9-win season going 0-8.
We buckled. Mm-hmm. We folded. Absolutely folded.
That sounds like something we'd do.
I think it was like some stats that really drove me nuts. Like the first time we'd not had someone drafted in the NFL draft. You know, it's like these are stats that we kept for years, streaks, and then all of a sudden they're broken because of Lyle freaking Jones.
Man, so to me, and I think we've talked about this, I mean, college football is better with Tennessee being good. And I hate saying that because, I mean, 98, what, 2001? I mean, there's been some great games where, you know, Arkansas's come up short. It's been painful. Now, luckily, we got the better of y'all 06 on college game day. But, and 99, too. I can't forget that. But when that burn orange, when that orange, not the other burn orange, but is in the realm of college football as a top dog, it's good for the sport. Like, it's just when Bama and they, like, the fact that you guys were like us, 07 to old, why am I blanking on y'all's quarterback that went off 2 years ago? Help me on this.
And in Hooker?
Yeah. And Hooker finally said when Manning gets on game day and goes, Hookers, he used a Morgan Wallen reference, and I'm like, okay, they're gonna win this game tonight, and they did. But when he finally broke it, I'm like, okay, maybe we can finally beat Alabama. Never did. Nick Saban retired. He said, "See Arkansas, never lost to you." But yeah, it's good to see not just the third Saturday in October game go back and forth a little bit, but also Tennessee being good as long as they don't beat Arkansas.
And speaking of Danny White, he's trying to get back. I don't know. You know, I know you're not like a Tennessee historian, but they used to play Alabama every year, and both teams wore the home jerseys.
That's kind of sick.
He's trying to get that back because it's like against the rules where you can't have two. But it's weird because UCLA and Southern Cal do it all the time.
Is it a penalty in the SEC, or is it fine or something?
I don't know what the official holdup is, but he's trying to get that back.
Like Greg Byrne.
Yeah. Playing in his can
if
over
we'll
there.
Donate toward his NIL. Yeah,
that was wild. So like the two things that we don't talk about Alabama athletic director very often, but like the two things the the NIL thing where he's basically like, we need you, Alabama fans.
Sarah McLachlan playing in the background.
And then, oh gosh. And then the court storming where it's like, yeah, they should have to forfeit the game. That was just like, yeah, that's gonna go over well, Greg, with the SEC. Oh, that's that. Just will never happen.
No, that's just not fair, right?
He's not high up on the hatred scale for Tennessee fan. I mean, most Tennessee fans don't know who Greg Byrne is, do they?
No, probably not. I think they're fans of him, given that he's torpedoed Alabama's athletics program.
They probably Tennessee fans probably like Kalen DeBoer. They're like, you should stay here a while. So it was funny. Like, you have these offseason conversation. I was like, there is no way that Alabama doesn't lose three games this fall. There's just no shot they don't. And I know they had some close ones. I mean, that Georgia win was unbelievable. You think, all right, maybe you're wrong. Then they fall to Tennessee and some other teams. Vanderbilt, Diego Pavia, we're in his hometown, or not his hometown, we're in his city right now.
Yep.
But that fan base is going to get volatile real quick, and they already have. And watching them cannibalize themselves will just be great for every other SEC who has just gotten just the absolute you-know-what kicked out of them by that school for the last better half of 15 years.
For every good game Kalen DeBoer had at Alabama, he followed it up with a horrible performance. And they're not going to tolerate that.
Mm-mm. Nope. There's an expectation that is in Tuscaloosa in football that's unlike anything. I couldn't meet those expectations, even if I was a good football coach. There's no chance that I would take that job after Nick Saban. You never follow a legend. I don't care what connection you have to him. I don't care how great you think the situation is. That is just, you're walking into a disaster if you do that. And he has.
Well, speaking of expectations, I appreciate you coming in every year. I expect you to be here every year. And next time that we meet, let's say 2026, we're sitting back and we're talking about the successful season that the Razorbacks had. For them to exceed
– In football?
In football. For them to exceed those expectations, which are low to fans, I mean, just outside the SEC, maybe inside Arkansas's rooms there, what – needs to happen? Is it just Taylen Green and Bobby P take that next step, or is there something else? Is it the defense? Is it the offensive line? Is there something that maybe in the back of your mind is kind of a question mark, but if it hits, we could have a lot of success here?
So they had a coaching change. Darren Wilson left to take the Georgia State defensive coordinator job, and I think he might have gotten picked up by Florida. I haven't looked at. Once an Arkansas coach leaves, I kind of, you know, forget about him, just to be honest. But they've got continuity, at least within the staff. Bobby's back for the second year with Taylen, like you talked about. So maybe just, like, guys playing with one another, knowing what their coaches expect. Is there a talent can stack up against the top dogs in this league? No. I think the expectation, I mean, if they get to 7 or 8 wins, that'd be – I mean, I'm just hoping for 6. So that would be outdoing my – and I'm talking regular season. Bowls don't – whatever. I'm talking about, like, can you get to 7 or 8 in the regular season? Defensively, like, you use Landa. What did you call Landa Jackson again? What was your nickname for him?
Hitman.
Hitman, yeah.
Damn Hitman. I swear, it was so good to see him too, man. I hate that he got hurt, but he was an absolute beast.
And he did well at the combine. So I would say that you lost, like, him, Andrew, Jaquindon, some other guys. The guys that you added, Click, that just works. And that Taylen, I mean, if Taylen, we talked about it a little bit, he's got to take that next step. I mean, you look at his SEC tape, and there's not, like, and I say this jokingly again, but if he doesn't go down that Tennessee game, I think we say, all right, Taylen Green had a great game because he was keeping them in throughout. And I know Tennessee got thwarted for much of that game, only scored twice in the third quarter, but Arkansas would move the ball, and then they'd have a fourth down, go forward and fail, or they kick a field goal and miss it or whatever. It's just so Taylor's got to take that next step. He's got to be a top half, top six quarterback in this league if you're going to meet those expectations. And the way that the QB room has kind of shifted in this league, it's there for him to take if he gets some help from his offense. And that line, man, line's got to be better. They added Corey Robinson from Tech, a couple other guys in the transfer portal as well. Kind of mixing and matching, so you got to go back to where you were in 2021. If they do that, they could. Who knows?
No, I like. I love Talen Green. I'm a huge fan of him. I think as far as ceilings with the quarterbacks in this league, he's got. I mean, he's top three for me.
6'6" can. I mean, runs a 4.6.
Just a gamer though. I love how he finds that first down. He, you know, he's willing to sacrifice his body, and unfortunately, that kind of hurt him toward the end of the season. But I don't know, man. I feel like this is a kid that kind of started figuring out a little bit toward the end of the season. And if you could have paired that to some of those games early in the year, Arkansas has a different record at the end.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. Arkansas's, again, their inability to close games, Oklahoma State, probably the most notable with what happened last season. That's just been an unfortunate tag with Sam Pittman. The Tennessee game ended up not being one. But if you go back and watch that final play, Nico had a guy open the back of the end zone. He just throw the ball, and I would probably jump out of 521. That would do it. We wouldn't be doing this right now. It would be over. But yeah, there's the line is so thin for Arkansas when it comes to like mental mistakes, and they had a good chunk of penalties last year, which is also like you could just can't do that if you're Arkansas. And again, I feel like you guys are asking for it's if this was basketball or baseball, it'd be a little more easier to, you know, get it up. But it's like this football program right now, the fact that I could be excited about 7 or 8 wins just shows you the difference of level of SEC fandom for Arkansas fans versus other fans in this league. Like if you guys were excited about 7 or 8 wins, like if you were like, yeah, you Tennessee fans, you should be excited about that, they'd revolt against you. But it's kind of the difference right now.
But, I mean, we've been there. I mean, Tennessee was there, Butch. Brother. I mean, we were Dooley. In that desert, too.
Dooley, golly.
Sitting at the bar with you, you know, watching everybody else play ball games. So, but when you get out of it, there's this appreciation. And I feel like you're kind of experiencing a little bit of that with the basketball. It's just a matter of time before it happens with football. You don't stay down long forever. It just doesn't. You can't be Vanderbilt,
right.
You know. You and nothing. And Vanderbilt, yeah, really shit, Vanderbilt. They got success, close to a top 25 team. So, I don't know, man. I feel like it's there. I feel like the sources are there that it could happen. It may not happen this season, but I do think that Arkansas football will be back before you know it.
You guys alluded to the schedule earlier, and we've talked about that a little bit. So in 2026, you'll get paired with the other teams that you haven't played, right? So depending on how the schedule shakes out, now that includes Alabama and Georgia, which Georgia is still going to be one of the alphas in this league, but you just don't know what those other teams will look like, and Arkansas could benefit from maybe some better matchups that way, which you take. I'm guessing that maybe 2027 you'll see 9 games. Maybe it is next year. Who knows? But either way, you'll have a change and a shift after one season at home, one season on the road, and then we'll see what happens in 2026.
When you talked about Sam Pittman, again, popular figure, but maybe there's not optimism there with a lot of fans. Well, does Bobby Petrino give him? Because it seems like we've talked about, hell, anything that goes wrong, it's Sam's fault. But if something they do right, it's like, boy, that Bobby, he can call a play. You know, it's a tough spot.
The sunglass memes come out, you know. Yeah.
Is that the position that like that Shane's in? If like things go right, you get all the credit, and if things go wrong,
exactly,
you get
exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right.
No, that's a good. I mean, that's a good way to put it, because I think a lot of people think when they have offensive success, it's all Bobby's doing, and when there's a late game situation that fails, then they blame it on Sam. So he gets all the blame and none of the credit, which that's not usually how it goes for a head coach. But I think he kind of understood that was what's going to happen. And I at least appreciate that standpoint where he knows that's how it is and he's okay with it. A lot of egos in this league that wouldn't be okay with it. And I'm not saying he's egoless. Every SEC coach has an ego to a certain extent. But that is something that you at least have to, as an Arkansas fan, appreciate about him.
Is there the biggest like what if in Arkansas? Could be any sport, but if there's any in football, that like if only this happened, if only that happened, that it feels like just a huge missed opportunity. I guess it would be 98.
Yeah,
wouldn't it?
98-69 against Texas. You go for it on fourth down. You could have kicked the field goal and made it. I guess it would have been a 3-possession game, if memory serves me right.
69.
If Bobby doesn't get on the
about?
69. If Bobby doesn't
talk about games at 69, like he was there.
If Bobby doesn't get in that wreck, if Reggie Fish doesn't muck
Mom
that,
would have stayed with Dad if we would have just won 69.
My gosh. Yeah, there's plenty. I mean, there's countless games and moments you can point to. Reggie Fish done muck that punt against Florida. Arkansas probably still would have made the championship because USC just obliterated them in Fayetteville that season. But
because for years and years, I felt like Tennessee and Arkansas, they were like cousins that they didn't even know they had. Where it was like you can get close, but you can't have it. Mm-hmm. You know, even in the baseball, that was rough.
Think about 06-07 and those championships. So Arkansas plays Florida tight, Tennessee plays LSU tight. If that game is flipped, if it was Ainge in 2007, right, that made it to the champion. I mean, if Tennessee goes on to beat LSU, if Arkansas goes on to beat Florida, and I still don't think the Razorbacks would have made the national championship. But, yeah, and you know what's odd? The oddest stat to me is what Arkansas's won, what, 4 or 5 straight against Tennessee now in football? That is the most, like, mind-numbing stat. Like, I can't even wrap my mind around how Arkansas beat the Tennessee Volunteers in 5 straight football games or 4, whatever it is. That just, it makes no sense. But
worst game of my life was an Arkansas game. I've said it.
2011?
Yes. I mean, I'm sitting there, I'm watching dumb Derek Dooley sit on the sideline. I don't even know if he was on a stool or not. But I'm just thinking, there was no transfer portal. You know, there was no, we can turn this around in one offseason. It was substantially more speed on your side than ours, and I was like, this is as low as it gets right here. Watching him dodge 12 tackles and jump off to an end zone on a punt return, one of the craziest punt returns ever. And that was when I started drinking right there. You know, so after that,
hear that, Joe, you call Shane to drink.
So but there's been some, but Arkansas has those games, you know, and that's one thing. It's entertaining watching Arkansas because you can see some of these crazy upsets. And then on the other side, you can see some that you were supposed to win, and then for some reason you find a way not to.
Yeah. I mean, last year didn't expect to win that game against Tennessee. They did. Didn't expect to win the game in Knoxville when you're down 14-0 to Josh Dobbs. They won that game. The 2011 game you mentioned, game day, I remember thinking Arkansas was going to put it on that night, and they did. But it's not typical. Even Jeremy Pruitt, when he came in there at Fayetteville, and I mean, I was just kind of back and forth on that, but I guess those are 5 I was thinking of. But yeah, Arkansas's had some good moments. I don't want to make it act like that Arkansas football has been desolate and just wandering the wilderness for 100 years, but it seems like, you know how there's gaps? Like there's gaps between good times. It seems like our gaps keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and then like Tennessee's gets smaller and smaller, so it's like good. All right, occasional bad, then good, occasional, and it's not initially like that for Arkansas, but it'd be not.
Who do Arkansas fans hate more, Lane Kiffin or Eli Drinkwitz?
I still think it's Drink, especially after the Talon Green thing, which he backtracked on. I mean, he's insanely smart. Like, people think these football coaches are like, they don't do stuff on purpose. He's incredibly intelligent, and I know there's video of him walking up to Talon after the game, but and as someone that has trouble with the English language, I'm not gonna mess with anybody about messing up someone's name or butchering or whatever, but I think he knew what it was, and he knew what he was doing because they still won again.
He's got tactics that sometimes are juvenile.
Very intense. Like
the worst was A&M. I don't know if you caught that, but they had a blanket put on it was in Theo Weiss's room, I guess. Uh-huh. So A&M's got a corner, Will Lee. They call him the blanket. So it was an A&M blanket, and they wore the blanket out on the field, and then they lost, what was it, 41-0 or whatever. It was like, But who in the hell was, you know, Drink did that. There's no way someone at A&M found out where Missouri was staying and then found out which room was Theo Weiss's, and I'm going to have this damn Will Lee blanket. I'm going to put it on the bed. You know, there's no way in hell that happened.
Yeah. I get it. The only side note is if you have kids, you understand it, you know, because these are teenagers, 20-year-olds that you're trying to fire up and find some sort of motivation in, you know. So I get exactly where some of it comes from. Now, it comes off quirky and corny to us, but yeah, and I'm not defending him. I'm not defending him, but I see the angle.
We stand on business, Shane.
You had to go there.
Dude, I thought that was, you know how there's so much AI now, so you're thinking there's no way that's real. You just, like, you hear something for the first time, and you're like, there's no way in hell that he actually said that. And then he explains what it was, a defender that he bet, and he's like, all right, well, if y'all do this on defense, then I'll say this to Josh Heupel after the game. Dude, if I was Heupel, I would have cocked back and swung at him right there. And didn't Tennessee kick their ass like a year later?
That was after. So when they meet again, so when they redo the schedule, better damn believe Josh Heupel has got that filed away. And there will be no taking the foot off the gas if it's a successful season, I don't think.
Yeah, they scored over 60 each time, I think, Tennessee did on them the last.
Yeah.
The two matchups prior.
Jeez Louise.
So, and you know,
I think he had it coming a little bit.
You were talking about scheduling. I think that's something to really keep an eye out when they release these new schedules, because teams like Arkansas and Oklahoma, you know, that even Georgia that just got smashed with these tough schedules, then you're going to flip it around. You're going to say, okay, Texas, Mizzou, Tennessee, these teams maybe quote unquote got easier ways. I would expect them to kind of hammer them that first year, especially.
Well, Ole Miss and Missouri still love to schedule cupcakes in their Power Five games of consequence. So they'll still have easier schedules than most, but
they got Tulane this year. Tulane,
the Green Wave. They've actually, I mean, that was a good game until that fumble recovery. Yeah, I'm pretty sure
Tulane
almost
beat them.
Yeah, they've had. I mean, I don't want to make fun.
Maybe
of Tulane.
That's why they scheduled Tulane. Yeah. They don't want to fuck around.
Just,
you know,
just enough of a comp. Yeah.
All right. Anything else for Ty before we let him go here, Shane?
No, man. I mean. We got to go eat. You know, I'm withering away to nothing over here.
Are you
here.
Getting the shut the cluck up?
Is that a really hot
that's
one?
Like,
I don't want to. That's the thing. I don't have any problem with hot items. You know what I'm saying? But then there's that line where it's just not enjoyable. So I want to have a little taste. So if no, I'm probably not going to do something that will put me in a hospital.
The hot is hot.
Just the hot is hot. Just the regular hot, right? What, so what is hot. Like, what is the order? What's the go-to order?
I think there's, I don't know what the first one is, but maybe like mild, then medium, then hot, and then there's one more.
That's shut the cluck up.
No,
there's one in between.
Then the next one is.
We're going hot, right? Are we?
Yeah, it'll be hot. Yeah, you'll like it.
All right. Let's do it.
All right, before we go, tell everybody how they listen to your stuff, find your stuff, find you on social media.
Yeah, at Ty Sports Radio on X, and then you can watch our radio show every day from now 9 to 11 on Hit That Line on Facebook, YouTube, X, and also what's the other one? Twitch, might be one I'm forgetting about, YouTube, all those. So all those platforms, and we try to have fun just like you and Shane do.
Says, I don't know if that's going to be a problem. But, it's like blinking. I don't know if you want to. I mean, we can continue without my video. I mean, the ratings will go down, but.